Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Maggie's out today, and I'm Matt Rothschild, happily sitting in for her, along with my wonderful co-host, Angela Lang. You can join the conversation anytime by phone or text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842, or 855-75-CIVIC, if you want to spell it out. We've got Troy from Mount Horeb on the line. Troy, what's on your mind?
Hello, Matt. Hello, Angela.
Hey.
Hey.
Talk to us. You're cutting out, Troy. Can you hear us? Can you speak? Otherwise, we'll have you call back. Troy, we're missing you. I guess we're going to have you try calling back. It sounds like you're out driving. We'd love to hear from you again if you're within audio range. I want to know who else wants somebody to run for governor. The number is 855-752-4842. We've got Sarah Rodriguez, the lieutenant governor, already thrown her hat in the ring. David Crowley, Milwaukee County exec, is strongly saying he's going to join, though he hasn't formally joined. He even consulted with my co-host, Angela Lang. What do you know about that? We've got other folks that sound like they're running. Kelda Royce, state senator here from the Madison area, wants to run. You know, I put this question on Facebook to the folks that are on my Facebook page or that follow it. I got several people wanting Josh Call to run, our current attorney general. If he runs, I want Maggie Dawn to run for attorney general. I think that would be cool. And then also another popular person, at least among the friends of mine, so-called friends of mine, the Facebook friends of mine. You know, they're friends and they're Facebook friends.
Yep.
But some of them are both. Anyway, Ben Wickler. People are putting in a word for Ben Wickler, the former head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, of course, who did a great job when he was at the helm there. So there are a lot of choices. There'll be other names getting in the mix too, probably. Who do you think I missed, Angela?
I mean, those are the names that I hear the most consistently. I know folks, people are also making speculations because you can see when people open and follow their paperwork. And so usually it's like, you know, Chris for Justice, right? And you have to follow the paperwork. And I think there's like a thing for Ben Wickler. I think I saw like Ryan Clancy, and like they're both coming out and they're like, somebody else started this in my name. This is not me, just so you know. So I think that's where some of the names are coming from. But yeah, no, I really, going back to Joe's comment, right? It's like, what are the qualities that we're looking for? And to kind of bring it back full circle of what we were talking about earlier about kind of like this division, you know, one of the things, it's like a little tagline that I kept and I feel like resonates with people, but you know, from the North Woods to the North side of Milwaukee, we all want safe, clean drinking water. We all want quality healthcare and quality public schools and good roads. And so similar to what Judge Taylor mentioned is how are we finding those commonalities? Yes, there's a lot of stark differences between Milwaukee and, you know, the Appleton area, right? Like there's so many differences, but there is enough, right? And who is that person that can build a broad coalition and bring people together?
You know, this is a tough question, this question of what qualities we want. I know Maggie, you know, wants someone with government experience, with some executive experience, not just legislative mm-hmm. experience. And I want someone who's a fighter. I think this is a time where we really need a fighter. So I'm kind of pulled and tugged between someone, you know, who can bring us together on the one hand, and then on the other hand, someone who's really a fighter. And I don't know if you can have both things. I want someone who can present an image and a set of policies that will help everyday Wisconsinites with housing, with health care, with the things that you mentioned, Angela, with good public schools, good drinking water, clean drinking water, get the lead out of the pipes. And it's not just an urban problem. It's a rural problem, too.
Right.
And that is an issue where there was bipartisan support. I know there was a Republican senator up in the Green Bay area who was pushing it, too, when he was in there. And yet some of his colleagues didn't go along with him. And so things got slowed down horribly. And also there was industry pressure as well. But I want someone who will fight and will mobilize. I mean, this was the point that was made by the head of Citizen Action in Wisconsin, Craig, that, you know, this is a time where we have such horrible things happening at the federal level that we need to have people here who are fighting against that and Judge Chris Taylor was spelling that out. You know, she was saying we can't rely on Trump, obviously. We can't rely on the U.S. Supreme Court, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so who's going to protect us here in Wisconsin? It's going to be the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is now fortunately in progressive hands. And it'll be the governor of Wisconsin who can block if the Republicans still hold both chambers. And that's a real open question, because I think the Democrats now with fairer maps have a chance of flipping one or both of the chambers. You know, what would it mean if Democrats got control of both and the governorship and the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Then we could have, then we could be like Minnesota, because Governor Walz was able to achieve things in Minnesota because they had control of the legislature there. And it's been a long time. I think it's been since 2009 since that's happened here in Wisconsin. And I would just hope that Democrats, if that happens, would be prepared. Like we were talking with our guest, Professor Picard at UPenn, the media scholar who has a great vision for what a different, a real democratic media system, small d, would look like. That Democrats here in Wisconsin need to have a vision of what a better Wisconsin would look like. If and when they get hold of power. And I think it's really crucial to spell things out. It's not just a negative. We're not Scott Walker. We're not Robin Voss. We're not Donald Trump. We're not Newt Gingrich, to go back a ways. But we are, you know, we're something different. That's what, you know, real visionary leaders do. That's why I love, still love Bernie Sanders. I'm an old Bernie guy. But I also love AOC, because they just, you know, they're spelling out that, you know, things can be different. And there's this socialist caucus in the state legislature that is spelling out some of those things. There's an economic bill of rights that they've been pushing forward, and Representative Francesca Hong has been at the center of that movement for a couple sessions, you know, where she really talks about, you know, what would it mean if people have real economic rights here in this state, and if we really represented them and gave them what they need. And I meant it when I said, you know, Democrats can't sell, you know, popcorn at the movie theater or peanuts at the ballpark if they can't spell out things that people really want and desperately need. They know in their gut that they need these things. They know that we all know we need clean water. We all know we need affordable housing for ourselves and for our children. I mean, housing costs in Madison are crazy. Housing costs all across the state are crazy, if you're renting or if you're owning. And people need the relief. And that's what government is for, and clean water, health care, good public education, and really to spell it out and what it means. I think we can have a real mandate if they spell things out. That's what Newt Gingrich did. He spelled out, you know, 10 things we're going to do if we get power. They were horrible things. They got power and they ran the 10 things through.
Right.
But it's good. You know, you need to spell stuff out.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that's really important. And that's why I like what that media scholar, Victor Picard, is doing. And he is following in the footsteps of Robert McChesney. It was nice that Joe gave a shout out to Bob McChesney, a good old, great old friend of mine and my wife's, who passed away in March after a terrible one-year bout with brain cancer. But Robert McChesney, sometimes writing with John Nichols here at the Cap Times, spelled out what we need to do to bring about a more democratic media system, a media system that's not in hock to the corporations, a media system that has a lot of funding for public media. You know, part of that conversation, if we can just reflect back on it, it's like, did sound like pie in the sky, because we're so far away from that now. But you really need to... You need to put the recipe for pie in the sky out there. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to taste that pie.
That's true. I mean, I think that there's so much, and I feel like I definitely would love to have him come back if he is willing, because I feel like it's such a big, important conversation that, like, this is structural. Like, if we zoom out, like, you know, the South Park episode making fun of Trump, and it was like, that's funny, right? But, like, that's an act of resistance. Colbert... still not tampering down his criticism and whoever, right? And
John Stewart too. Yeah.
We love John Stewart. I even saw today that Trump, I don't know if he tweeted or whatever, but it was on the news that he was going after a radio host, Charlemagne, because he was being critical about, like, Epstein. And I'm like, so we're just always going to tweet at people that say things or that we don't agree with or we don't like. This is what we're doing in the media.
I mean, imagine that. I mean, here we have a president of the United States who doesn't have better things to do than to sit there and watch the TV and get out his phone and tweet when someone on TV says something he doesn't agree with. There was Charlemagne. There was Elizabeth Warren today, who said something about Trump that he didn't. Yeah, he didn't like on CNBC, and instantly he texted something about that's what he's doing. He's watching TV.
Don't you have a job? Don't you have a job, Mr. President?
I mean, it is just—it's amazing. He's either golfing or he's watching TV and tweeting a response to it. I mean, maybe you know. Maybe it's good that he's not at the desk and doing work because everything he does is so horrible. But I mean, like firing the statistician from the Bureau of Labor Statistics on Friday when he didn't like the numbers that were brought in. I mean, this is we're getting kind of back to the Soviet Union here, where they had, you know, as their scientist, Lysenko, a guy who didn't believe in Darwinism, as their head scientist. I mean, that's who he wants, probably as head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Just cook the books for me and make it sound better than it is. I mean, it's that kind of crazy authoritarianism that's coming down from on high. But yeah, that he's spending every day just watching the tube. You know, the Republicans were always saying, you know, who's president of the United States? It's not Joe Biden. Who's running the country? But, you know, if he's just watching TV, you know, who's running the country?
Well, who is running the country? I mean, I think it's also ridiculous. And I think this point, I mean, there's so many things to be upset and frustrated with. So I understand why this might be at like the bottom of the list. But like going back to the conversation about media, there's also something I think incredibly scary of him placing Fox News contributors, hosts, talking heads who are clearly not qualified in these positions of power, right? And so, you know, we sometimes see, you know, press directors, though, you know, folks are on MSNBC, right? Like I see how people do that after they leave the White House. It's usually not before, right? And so I think it's just another like angle, is another grab into the media because you're able to control it because you have the talking heads that are in these positions that they are not qualified for. And obviously their former coworkers are going to always defend that. So I think there's some interconnection with that. I think that's not, I think it's strategic and I think it's very intentional under Trump's part.
Yeah. If you wanted to be on in his cabinet, you should have been working for Fox. I mean, that was the crazy thing. I mean, Pete Hegseth, come on now. I mean, he's just making a total fool of himself every day there over at the Pentagon. He's losing staff every day because, you know, he can't work with this guy. The generals hate his guts. I mean, this is a guy who's way over his head, but Trump liked him on Fox, so he appointed him. I mean, this is why, you know, why we may get through this just because of the incompetence of some of the people around Trump. I'm praying for incompetence. Incompetence and resistance. Incompetence from above, resistance from below is what I'd like to say. And we are seeing the incompetence from above and incompetence from a president of the United States who wastes his time watching TV and responding by text to anything that it doesn't like and then shooting the messenger if it's a renowned economist at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we're dealing with now, a crazy authoritarian who's just ruling by whim. We'll be back right after the break with a poem and a bird, and they're connected. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Phone number is 855-752-4842. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. Maggie's out today, but we'll be right back.